All right. This is the National Finance Committee meeting for the Pacifica National Board, or for Pacifica. And this is Chris Corey. I'm the outgoing chair, and we have a quorum present. So we're going to convene. Oh, wait. We don't have our – oh, yes, we do. Our Paul's here. Mr. Secretary, can you take the roll?
Okay. Please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Nick Arena.
Here.
Teresa J. Allen. Fred Blair.
Here.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Dwayne Lark. R. Paul Martin. Here. James Sagerton.
Here.
Anita Sims.
Here.
Nancy Sorden. Alina Vasilyev.
Here.
Okay, that is eight.
All right, thank you, Mr. Secretary. So I submitted an agenda about, I guess it was a couple hours ago, and we had one minor change to it. I'll read the agenda for those of you that didn't receive it. Convene meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Roll call. Approve agenda. Item 4 is minutes issues. Item 5 is election results. Item 6 is discussion of $80,000 transfer. Item 7 is a referred motion from the PMB on sideband revenues. Item 8 is a discussion of central services formula. Item 9 is a discussion of budgeting process. Item 10 is new business. And then we have item 11 being an adjourned time no later than 10:15 Eastern time. Are there any omissions, changes, additions to the agenda that anyone would like to make? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. All right, the next item up is minutes issues. I believe that's your item, R. Paul. What are our minutes issues?
One second.
All right.
Okay. Basically, at the last meeting, we had an executive session, and we don't all agree on the validity of the executive session. And there is, however, a way that we can make it so we can move on from that particular deal. And the first thing I'm going to do is read Roberts for a second. Hold on. I have the wrong glasses on, so I'm going to read the tiny print from Roberts. I need the bigger reading glasses. I just landed lens down on the keyboard. Oh, God. All right. Okay. This is from Roberts. The minutes or record of proceedings of an executive session must be read and acted upon only in executive session unless that which would be reported in the minutes, that is, the action taken as distinct from that which was said in debate, was not secret, or secrecy has been lifted by the assembly. That's Roberts' Rules of Order. Page 96, lines 9 to 14, for those who are playing the home game of our meeting. And basically the deal is, I think we have a bit of a problem there. There are sort of two problems, one of which is having that, but we all can debate about that. And the other of which is, how do we handle this in the minutes? We could just say, we'll have two separate minutes there and, have the usual thing of open session minutes and executive session minutes. Or we can do the following, which would basically make it so that there's no secrecy left in what was happening with the executive session. So I am going to make a motion, which is to lift the secrecy from the executive session. Try that again. To lift the secrecy from the executive session held on April 28th, 2020. And the idea behind that is by lifting the secrecy from it, that means we get to just put it in the minutes and it'll be there, and that will, you know, it'll be in the minutes that everybody in the world can see, and it'll just be there. I think that it'll be the same whether we do it as two separate things or if we do it as one big set of minutes. Now, the other part of this is that I think that this may go some way toward helping us to deal with what I consider a problem with having gone into executive session at all last time. And I am concerned about a violation of CPB rules. And I think it would be, you know, a real blunder to finally get audits, which I hope we're going to get done in time, done so that we can qualify for CPB and then run afoul of open meeting rules. So the motion is to lift the secrecy from the executive session held on April 28th, 2020.
All right. Thank you, R. Paul. Do we have a second on that motion?
Don't need a second in committee.
We don't need it?
No.
Okay. Would anybody like I'd like to hear if there's any opposition to this motion, and if there is, I'll take a stack for it.
This is Sharon for the staff. And this is Lydia.
Okay. All right. So we have
Sharon.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm sorry, I didn't have my notebook out when I suggested that. Who was first on the staff?
Well, I don't want to be on the stack, but I'm requesting to be present. This is Dwayne.
Okay. Okay, Dwayne, we got you. Thank you.
It was Sharon, and Lydia, and I don't know who the third person was.
It was Dwayne speaking, but
Okay.
It's Nancy.
Okay, Nancy. Right. Thank you, Nancy. Okay. Let's go to. 2-4 and 2 against on this, I guess. I won't count our pulse. I'll just consider it as motivation for the motion. Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, I wasn't speaking for or against. I was making a comment, which is that regarding the issue of CPB money, I really think this is making a mountain out of a molehill, because it takes more than the audits to qualify for CPB money. And one of the things that matters is the number of listeners. And there are stations that don't meet that requirement, whether or not we have, you know, so that particular requirement of CPB is not being met already.
Okay, thank you. Lydia?
Yes, we do receive CPB funding. CPB has a number of grants. They're the huge ones that we used to get nationally, and then for all the reasons that we know that did not happen. And there were a couple of stations that were below necessary levels for funding based on both listenership and individual donations. But the others were fine. Anyway, so that's just to clarify. So there are CPB issues. As a committee of the PMB, then I think it should always follow. And I missed the beginning of this, and I don't see, for some reason, I don't see the motion in either of my email, but regardless, is that we should always follow the rule that the PMB does, which is to have a report out. That's as public as you can get with an executive session. With a closed session, we can certainly on the open session minutes say that we went into closed session, but you can't then publicize what was discussed in closed session. And also, I mean, that's a matter of practice and protocol and policy in the in Pacifica, and as the PMB does, it can by category also because in Pacifica in the national board meetings is that they tend to schedule them in advance. You don't have to. If you do find something where you need to adjourn into an executive session, as far as I know, you're allowed to do that. It does require a board vote in order to do that, and then you're changing the agenda, so probably a two-thirds vote by the board to go into closed session. But then you do a report out, which is standard, that personnel issues were discussed or contractual issues were discussed or proprietary issues were discussed, whatever, and you keep it general. You don't go into the detail. But there is a misconception that we don't receive funding from CPB. We wouldn't be able to play any of our music without it because they do the heavy lifting on all of the copyrighted material that we use throughout the network.
Okay. Thanks, Lydia. Nancy?
I'm against also. So
okay.
Do you want to take another four before me? I can go, but whatever.
Well, if there's someone else that would like to fall in behind our call, it would probably be better to hear from them now. Are there any other supporters that of the motion that would like to speak?
Well, yeah, Dwayne.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
First off, I want to agree with Sharon that there are a number of reasons, a number of things that go into determining whether or not we'll be eligible for the benefits or the grant. But I wanted to know whether, I guess this was a question relative to her comment, whether she knew what the benchmarks were for membership, not membership, but listenership, and notwithstanding the fact that CPB has sent out a few communiques that they are relaxing rules and even giving more exemptions given the situation that we're in now. But does she know what the requirements are relative to listenership?
This is Sharon. I don't know exactly. Dwayne, I don't know. But Lydia might know. And actually, Lydia, if you would answer this question also, how does CPB get involved in the copyright issue? Are they covering the licensing fees, and is it just
yes? They cover ASCAP and everything. So,
go ahead.
Yes, so that we don't have to. And there are some others too, which I need to get more information on that they still cover for us, as far as I know, and have. And it's the same thing. That even though, for example, and the two letters, it's not confidential, that back in the day that we received from CPB, it was for KPFT and KPFK, and that still enabled those stations to request other grants from CPB. CPB has all kinds of grants having to do with the arts, having to do with whatever, aside from the $1 million grants that we used to get based just on listener and the like. They never gave us in those letters, the specifics of of what the metric was exactly, just, you know, generally speaking. And in fact, today I had received a question specific to that from Anel at the general manager at KPFK. So I am going to forward his email and ask the specific question of Melody, because yes, indeed, things are changing. And since they also factor in the donations, not just the number of listeners, then we need to see if there are new metrics that they are applying. But I have never been clear on it. For example, BAI at that time, despite the fact that they had their numbers had really plummeted at the time that KPFT and KPFK got received their letters, and yet they did not. WBAI was not among those. So I have always been unclear as to how, and, you know, CPB also tends to be rather general about things. For example, I used to try to pinpoint them. How many meetings a year does the CAB have to have? And they just keep on based on the necessities of the community. So they kind of allow themselves a lot of leeway. But it is time to ask Foster Garvey for an updated opinion on it, given all the changes and what we're going through.
I have a follow-up.
Okay. Go ahead, Dwayne. That's fine.
The follow-up is I was at KPFT at the time that it was what you call, I guess, dissanctioned or decertified, and our manager was sent a written explanation that was rather specific. And two of the sites were that it had lost too much of its share of African-American and Hispanic listeners. And it gave it 2 years. I repeat, it gave them 2 years to address it before they would actually pull a site, use that as a reason for pulling funds. And also, Lydia, I would ask that you would specifically ask the question whether or not market share is factored into that. And I think maybe you should ask specific questions, and I would like to perhaps give you a few that you could ask, because I think it's germane to figuring out what we can do to try to get back in good standing with them, because I saw 17 sites that year, and four or five of them with KPFT and was spread across the network while they pulled the funds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were two that received the letters at the time. If something happened after that, I don't know, but I can send those letters to the committee.
Okay, Dwayne, would you mind?
This is
would you mind,
Alan. I'd like a copy of that.
Okay.
Dwayne, would you mind copying Lydia in on that directly, so we don't have to spend any more time on
yeah.
this item? Okay,
fine.
Thank you. Okay. Nancy, go ahead.
I am against this because I've heard people say that, well, it wasn't what we discussed was not germane to the Finance Committee, but it was germane to the Personnel Committee. But even though it might have only been germane to the Personnel Committee, it still would have been in confidential in session in the Personnel Committee. And so we are also bound to, you know, honor that confidentiality as well, even though, you know, it wasn't something we needed to discuss in the Finance Committee. That doesn't mean it's not confidential.
Okay. Thanks, Nancy. Paul, I'll give you the last word on this if you want it, and then it seems clear to me that we're going to need to take a vote on it.
Okay. I'll just say, what was confidential? Naming people who are doing part-term time work? If that's confidential, then years and years and years of PND and PND committee meetings that have gone on these teleconferences, plus LSBs, I suppose, have been in enormous violation of rules, because people, you know, we've said, oh, X, Y, and Z work in wherever. We've done that a lot. So, you know, that's all we said. No dollar amounts of anything were mentioned. Nothing confidential happened at that, but it's up to the committee.
Okay. So the motion on the floor, R. Paul copied everybody in. I presume that everybody's received it at this point. I'm looking for it right now. Oh, I'm in the wrong mailbox. Oops. Hang
Mr.
on. Just
Chair, request for information from Paulina.
Go ahead, Paulina.
So apparently, because I'm new to this committee, I haven't been receiving everything, so I can't find the minutes being discussed right now, which is very problematic because I wouldn't be able to vote on something that I haven't read. I mean, I did get the motion, but I haven't seen the minutes.
Okay. I'll make sure that you're copied in on that, Paulina. We seem to be having a problem with our distribution list on this, and I'll take part of the blame for that. It's hard for me to remember who was having trouble right now, and so please forgive me for not copying you in, but I just copied the NFC list and assumed that you're getting it. But apparently that still is not working. So I will do that momentarily.
The Google group is working. What's not working are the automatic reminders from KPFTX, I suppose. So I didn't get a reminder about this meeting, nor, neither did I get the minutes. I'm not sure if that makes sense.
I'm not sure whether it does or not either. Who's trying to speak right now?
R. Paul.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
The minutes have not been sent out because I felt I needed a clarification on this one way or another. That's what this motion is about. Now, once this is disposed of one way or another, I will, over the next few days, send out either one set of minutes or two sets of minutes. And we're on Yahoo, not Google groups, for the mailing list. You are on the mailing list. I know that.
Good.
Okay, Paulina, I'm just about to send you a copy of the agenda.
I did get that. I did get that. Sorry. I just thought that for some reason the minutes had already been
I see.
Shared. R. Paul just clarified it for me. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, no problem. So let's go to a vote on this motion. Does anybody need it repeated? Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I was on mute. Can you repeat it, please?
Okay.
I would like to repeat it.
Go ahead. Our policy is very simple. You can repeat it. Thank you.
The motion is to lift the secrecy from the executive session held on April 28, 2020. Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Abstain.
Nick Arena?
Yes.
Teresa J. Allen?
Abstain.
Fred Blair?
I'd like to pass.
Okay. Chris Corey?
No.
Dwayne Lark?
Pass.
R. Paul Martin? Yes. James Sagerton?
Yes.
Anita Sims?
No.
Nancy Sorden?
No.
Polina Vasilyev?
Abstain.
Going back, Fred Blair?
I'll abstain.
Dwayne Lark.
I'll vote yes.
Okay, it's 4-4, 3 against, 4 abstentions. There, you heard the count. There?
I'm very sorry, I was muted. So the motion passes. So, R. Paul, you're free to do with that as you wish, I guess, right? Do you know what to do now? Or
Exactly.
Is this requiring further discussion? Okay. Okay. All right. So the next item on the agenda is the election results. I think everybody's aware of it already, but I James Sagerton prevailed in the in the NFC chair election, 6-5. So without further ado, I am going to hand over the gavel. If you're prepared to take the gavel, Mr. Sagerton, you have the agenda in front of you.
I am. I have the agenda in front of me. I'm as prepared as I will ever be on this night,
okay.
Which you can all judge later. And thank you, Chris, for all of your work. You've done wonderful work. And as I've said many times, I hope you don't stray too far away. We need your help.
Okay. Thank you, James. I appreciate that.
Okay. So the next item on the agenda is we have election results 5 minutes. I don't think we really need 5 minutes to discuss the results, do we? Is there anybody who has any discussion on this? We've seen the report from Terry Goodman. Does anybody have any questions?
No, sir.
Okay. So without objection, I'll go on to item 6. which is discussion of the $80,000 transfer. This is a five-minute item, and the question is we have an email from Steve Kamasi, collections coordinator for the law firm of Cost Foster Garvey, indicating that a retainer of $80,000 was paid to the law firm of Foster Garvey in October of 2019, and that these funds were paid by, it's not a quote, but quote unquote, I guess, one of the West Coast stations. And then we have a confirmation of the wire transfer, which I think you've all seen, of the transfer of the funds to Foster Garvey for $40,000, not the full $80,000. So one question is, where was the other $40,000? Where's the wire transfer or whatever other transfer there was for that? And then we have the fact that this expense was not noted in any legal expense line for either KPFA or KPFK. So if it came from one of the West Coast stations, that's impossible. And so it's also not in the national office legal expense line items. So the question becomes, where is this expense noted in our accounts?
Mr. Chair, this is Anita, if I may comment.
Of course, yes. Thank you, Anita.
Yeah, be happy to address. We did some research ourselves, of course, and obviously with help from Tamara, that she was the interim CFO at the time. We do show that we reached out a couple times, one in February and then again recent in March, and to find where it was located. It was in two separate transfers, one on October 18th and October 29th for $40,000 each. And the reason that we were not aware of it or saw it was because it was recorded in the intercompany. It was due from P&O by KPFA. In Great Plains, it does not allow you to see, like, balance sheet accounts, or they're not accurate until the year is closed out. So, again, as we all know, 2018 is still open, and that's another reason that we're not able to see it. But, again, we did reach out to ask. The other side of it, of course, depending on where it resides, is the expense side of the transaction that I'm assuming needs to be recorded to P&O, again, but not knowing if that is the right place for it as a legal expense.
Chris Corey for the staff.
Okay. Yes, Chris, go ahead.
Okay. So, of course, I did a little research as well and was copied in on most of this information. I'm sure some of it Anita has better access to than I do, at least I would hope so. But if for those of you who don't understand some of the lingo that was just dished out by Anita, the intercompany account is a method of transferring from funds from one station to another. In this particular case, the way that the item was accounted for at KPFA was as an interdivisional loan. And that sort of a transaction would end up on the balance sheet, but it wouldn't end up on the profit and loss statement until it was categorized and expensed. And so that's the problem that NEDA is having, is that it's not categorized and expensed. And so it's just residing on the balance sheet until a decision is made about how to expense that that amount. So that's where it falls. That's where it fell between the cracks, I guess you could say. And that's where it resides currently. So for anybody who didn't understand all that, there you go. There's an explanation. Thank you.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so I had, on seeing that this was on the agenda, I contacted Quincy, the general manager, and he has, I just opened the email of his looking into this. It's an email from John Verniel to Maria Negrette and Quincy, which says $40,000, this at least applies for the one. $40,000 needed to be wired to Foster Garvey. And then it has the wire instructions from from Foster Garvey. Let me see what else does it have. So that's it. That's what I have. That's what I know. So this was out of KPFA, and it was from, I think it was, and that's why they have trust. So when Foster Garvey and I learned of this, when we started questioning the enormous statement that Foster Garvey sent to us, and it had on there $80,000 trust. And I see now there's at least it's linking to something in this email from Foster Garvey. It says wire instructions for trust account. So this must be their trust account, I think, because I saw something in this email from Quincy that said it was from their operating account. So it's not a KPFA trust account.
That makes sense.
Okay. So yes, it says right there. Yes, and this is from Maria Negret, and it's from the OP account on both instances.
I'd
gladly forward all this if I know how to get to you guys on Yahoo, but I'll forward it to someone.
Yes, just going to ask. Yes, please do that. Thank you, Lydia.
Uh-huh.
Duane?
Mr. Chair, so that I will be clear. What account? What station was the $40,000 sum of $80,000 transferred from?
KPFA in Berkeley.
Okay, and is that all the information that we're requesting as to who authorized it?
Well, no. I had requested information on the account. I wanted to know what account it had been sent out of. We already had the wire information. I had seen wire information recently, which confirmed what Foster Garvey confirmed to our attorney, and that it had come from there. I had also confirmed it with Tamara, that it had come from KPFA. The problem has been that we don't know where it was booked. So I have no idea, how it's being booked at KPFA or anything, but I know it was not at PNO's, at NETA, which is, partly because of what Anita said, but it was not coordinated. So just as a point of reference, I have, for example, because of the fact that we're not flush at the national office, and when these expenses came up about the current attorneys around the property issue, and they wanted to be paid right away, especially given the fact that they were dealing with something that was eminently disastrous for KPFA property. And so I arranged for KPFA to pay for the KPFA portion of what the attorneys were working on directly. So that part would not be unusual, and the ED, just as Reneal was at the time, to ask. However, all of it, everything that I did was with email confirmation and in coordination with Tamara, so that if she received a statement carrying an amount that was being paid to KPFA, she would be aware of the arrangements that we were making. Ultimately, the retainer letter was with Pacifica. So all of that was worked out. So the problem here is that nothing is booked in a way that we can follow that trail that we know of, and it was never communicated to NETA. And so that was the issue of trying to trace it back.
Well, Mr. Chair, am I still recognized?
Yes, go ahead, Duane.
Well, would not the question be begged that what are we doing this day forward to avoid such actions or inactions or confusion? And further, would it not show that some of the expenditures and some of the ledger entries and other things are not necessarily in order in terms of how we account for money of this foundation.
May I comment on that?
And then Sharon for the stack also, after Anita, please.
Again, as I've commented on this before, I totally agree with you. I think that we need to change the processes and procedures and make the business managers responsible to send us documentation. Had we had a bank statement, obviously that would have been, those funds would have appeared as coming out. We could have asked directly because we'd have, quite frankly, information in front of us that would show that expenditure. Or, and as long as you have two separate softwares, that'll continue. But certainly on the short term is being able to implement processes with Lydia, of course.
And this
are
is
done,
Lydia.
Are you done, Anita? Anita, are you done?
Yes, sir.
And
thank
Lydia,
you. Okay, Sharon?
And then Lydia to the
yeah,
second.
Thank you. Yeah,
Anita, it's Lydia. Thank you.
No, go ahead, Sharon.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just want to say, from everything you said, Lydia, it sounds like KPFA did exactly as it was requested by the executive director at that time, and it was accounted for properly as an interdivisional loan, transfer loan, I guess. And so I really wonder and question the motivation of putting this on the agenda, and, you know, just want to point out that it was done properly. It has been accounted for. Anita has explained it. Perhaps new procedures will be implemented in the future, but the fact is that KPFA did exactly what it was asked to do. And there's this sort of underlying, like, tone around this whole thing that KPFA has done something wrong here. And so I just want to state for the record that KPFA did nothing wrong. Everything has been accounted for. And as Anita explained, when the books are closed for the year, then that would have showed up. So it's because the books are not closed yet. And that's what I have to say on that subject.
Lydia?
Yeah. Okay. So I wasn't around during this time. I don't know when Mr. Verniel left. The second wire transfer was on 10/29, so I think you guys can all work out the dates of all this. But the issue that I guess somebody will have to figure out, the board presumably, is whether this constituted a loan, and that's all I have to say. But this is the first time I have seen this email, so it is confirmation that it was a request from Mr. Verniel. Thank you.
This is the chair. I'm going to put myself on the stack for a moment. I think possibly one of the things that we need to figure out is when was the board vote that determined that John Verniel was either suspended or no longer the executive director, and whether this then was a valid request. And I wonder, Lydia, if you have any recollection of that specifically right now?
Yeah, I don't know when the board did that. Way before my time in terms of Mr. Verniel's tenure.
I should know, but I have a feeling that Dwayne, from my experience with him, he does know. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I respect Sharon's comments, and I, too, probably would take the same tack if it was by station as well. But I want to respectfully disagree of any undertone, because I don't want it to be under. I want it to be over, out front, up front, honest conversation. The Pacifica National Board did not know that these transfers were being made. And I believe that when you're making such transfers for legal purposes, that was the first mistake. So that wasn't in order. Whether or not it looked properly in order, the action was not in order. In fact, it was done under the table with no knowledge of the Pacifica National Board, and it certainly was not done in the cover of light. It was done in the cover of darkness. So for that reason, if that doesn't stand alone to indicate that it was not something that the majority of the board knew, now we can explore in terms of what we can do in the future. When one of our subsidiaries decides that it wants to pay for legal fees on behalf of the foundation, when the foundation's leadership or majority hasn't approved or certainly don't agree with the expenditure. So I think that's not an undertone. That's an outright wrong.
Sharon, to the stack. And Lydia, back to the stack, because I left something out.
I think I heard Sharon first, then Anita, and then Lydia.
No, you heard Paulina.
Oh, I'm sorry. When were you, Paulina? Was that you last?
I'll speak after Lydia. I'll go last. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I think Sharon. I think I was first.
Yes, you were.
So
you were next.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, Sharon.
Lydia. Okay. So I just want to point out they immediately go to political posturing and have no longer are talking about numbers or anything that this National Finance Committee is supposed to do. New chair. I want to say that, okay, we're talking about a very minor amount of money in terms of this overall network, and there's so much financial irregularity within this network, and that is why I was commenting on the political undertones, which are now overtones. So while we're talking about that, let's bring something else out. The sale of the KPFA Nakupon building without a membership vote, that was a KPFA asset. That was a Pacifica asset sold without a membership vote in violation of the bylaws, okay? That was a violation of the bylaws, but that all just goes around, and that's all fine and good, and Pacifica just takes the more than $1 million that it gained from that. And during that sale, it learned about the property tax issue and did nothing at that time. So let it fester till it came to the situation it is now. But to go back to the gain of over $1 million from the sale of a building paid for by KPFA members, yes, it was a Pacifica asset. It was sold without a membership vote in violation of the bylaws, and every single dollar of that under the new rules is now a Pacifica asset and no longer considered an inter-loan transfer. So I don't even know why we're talking about the $80,000 because everything is a debt of Pacifica now. So it's just a debt of Pacifica, just like everything else. And the implication that KPFA was doing something wrong when there was massive confusion going on and it was receiving orders to do things from, like, people that are, you know, like a chicken with its head cut off. I'm really tired of it, okay? Why can't we just focus
point
on
order,
how
Nancy
can't
Gordon.
We focus on paying?
What is your point of order? What is your point of order?
That was not done against the bylaws. That's not true. What
it
she
was,
said.
Read the bylaws.
No, it was not. I
read
the bylaws.
I think that's an argument, not a point of order.
Okay,
go ahead, Sharon.
Political party.
But she's also.
I was done. I was finished.
All right, let's have order. Okay, thank you, Sharon. And
I was next, Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay. So
was
what
it Anita or
off,
Lydia next?
This is Lydia,
Lydia.
About.
Okay.
This is Lydia on the email. The email that I first told you about, that was dated 10/18, so that was for the first $40,000. The second wire request, and this is a quote, the second wire request we believe was a phone call for the same amount on 10/29/20. So there's no email for that, but I mean, I don't doubt this. What I'm unfamiliar with is the sequence of events and the tenure of Mr. Verniel, which I would think is outside of what this agenda is, and so perhaps this could be referred to the PNB, but again, not.
Mr. Chair?
Just a suggestion.
Yes, I think we have Paulina next. Was that Duane I heard?
Yeah.
Or Paul for stack?
Okay, I'm going to put you on stack, but I think Paulina is next. Paulina?
I'll reserve
the right to comment if possible at a later time. I'll pass right now.
I'll put you at the bottom for now. Dwayne?
Well, for the record, since we are accused of political posturing when we're stating facts, on October 13th, Mr. Benil was relieved of his duties, considering the date that our IAD just gave us. Mr. Benil's dismissal was confirmed and reaffirmed by the court the following week, on October 20. These were unauthorized expenditures.
Are you done, Dwayne?
Yes, I am. For the record.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
And now we have our Paul.
Okay. What the member just said about...
By the way, excuse me, our Paul, this is the chair. I apologize. But I believe on the agenda, this was a five-minute item, so we're either going to need an extension of time or we're going to need to wrap this up. So I'm going to just ask for the stack to be exhausted, and then we'll have a vote on whether to extend or whether to move on. Go ahead, R. Paul. I apologize.
Okay, I can make this very fast. Okay, so what the member just said about the dates and when who was legally in charge of things, I think that's very important, and I think the PNB should look at that. The other thing is, let me see if I understand. So what happened was KPFA lent the Pacifica National Office either $40,000 or $80,000, and that was used for a legal expense. And do we know what the legal expense was?
Who are you asking, R. Paul? I believe it was to pay Foster Garvey for their legal work.
Okay, so it was, so it was KPFA made a loan to Pacifica of either $40,000 or $80,000 that went to Foster Garvey, and do we know exactly what the legal work was?
It was a retainer to Foster Garvey, as I understand, and it was in connection with the resisting the temporary restraining order to put WBAI back on the air in New York.
All right, thank you.
Okay, then we have Paulina, and then I'll ask if anyone wants to move to extend time.
I choose to.
Let's have Paulina first. I wanted to exhaust the stack.
Sure.
Go ahead, Paulina.
I just wanted to mention that, as far as this committee is concerned, I think that the question at hand is not necessarily political. It's about how things get recorded on the books, and I believe that, our CPA opined that we were not recording the profits from the sale of the NACA Pond building correctly, whereas other CPAs actually are of a different opinion. And here I would like to bring one consideration to this conversation, is that what's the relationship of the national office to the sister stations, to the signal areas and other units? Is it a relationship between a parent company and subsidiaries? I don't think so. I think that's that claim is completely mistaken, and it would come from somebody who doesn't understand the way Pacifica works. We're a single foundation. We're not a parent company with subsidiaries. We just have different units or departments, and that kind of solves it all. This is an internal issue.
Thank you, Paulina. And Dwayne, did you want to make a motion to extend time?
How much time do we have remaining, Mr. Chair?
In this item, I believe we've exhausted the time quite a while ago. It was initially, a five-minute item.
I seek to extend for 3 minutes and request to be on the stack.
I'd like to extend for five and also be on the stack. Chris Corey.
Anyone else?
Fred.
So, Chris, that's an amendment. Fred?
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yes, I'd like to ask Lydia, is there any money left in the retainer, and is it possible to recover any of that for Pacifica's use?
Fred, that would be a matter of discussion or debate, so can we wait for that until we get the extension of time?
Okay, I'm sorry.
No worry.
Yeah, and then I'll respond.
So we have a proposal. We have an initial proposal for 3 minutes, and what I'm going to take as an amendment to 5 minutes by Chris. Anyone else? So we'll go in reverse order. We'll take the five-minute amendment first. Mr. Secretary, I'll ask first if there's any objection. Hearing none, we will take the 5 minutes, and we don't have to vote on the 3 minutes. So
actually, just
now
ask
we
again
had,
because it was an amendment. Just ask again; it'll pass without objection. Just do that.
Oh, okay. The main motion. All right. Okay. Does anyone have any objection to the? We're asking again for the 5 minutes, Sarpaul?
Yeah.
I believe I thought I did that. Okay. Any objection to? Continue. Oh, because this now we're doing the main motion. I get it. Is there any objection to extending for 5 minutes? Hearing none, we'll extend for 5 minutes. And I believe we had first Fred and then Lydia wanted to respond.
No, actually, it was Dwayne who made the original motion.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Thank you, Dwayne.
And then Chris. Okay.
Okay. I'm getting used to it.
That's quite all right. We're here to help. We're here to help.
Thank you.
I just wanted to underline the fact that five stations are subsidiaries of the foundation. When a subsidiary decides that it wants to make an expenditure on behalf of the foundation for legal issues that the foundation has purview over, that's an overstep. Especially when the foundation board is not aware that these expenditures are being let. And all funds, all assets, all accounts, everything is owned by the foundation. And it's with this mindset why the foundation is having some of the issues that it's having, because every little area thinks it's autonomous, and it's not. It is a subsidiary of the foundation. So I just want to underline that. So it's not under the table. It's not around the table. It's on top of the table. It's not undercurrent. It's overcurrent. It's out front. It's transparent. That these expenditures were expended by foundation assets from one of its subsidiaries, not knowing, not authorized, in the cover of darkness. And anyone who believes that is in order and proper really don't have an appreciation for the foundation and its authority. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Dwayne. Now we have Chris.
Thank you.
Before you go, Chris, I just want to make a comment that we did not appoint a timekeeper for items or for individual speakers. And I think in the PNB, we usually have a 90-second limit on speakers. But so why don't we just finish this item, and then if we choose to get some timekeepers, we'll do that. But we seem to be doing okay so far. So go ahead, Chris. Thank you.
Okay. I just have one minor objection. There was a statement made earlier about how the Nakapon asset was suggested to be booked by moving it off the books of KPFA to the national office. And I looked at that suggestion with five separate CPAs, and none of them felt that it was being that the suggestion was booked properly, and it had to do with the depreciation allowance for KPFA that was used on the building. So, I would like if Polina could, if she can produce a CPA that actually agrees with how that transaction was handled. I would be interested in talking to that CPA, and I don't see any reason to take up any more time since we're not talking about Nakapon right now, but if she could contact me directly with the name of the CPA and the contact information, I would really love to hear an opinion that differed from the five that I produced. Thank you.
Certainly, I will.
Okay, now we have Fred.
Thank you, Chair. Again, Lydia, I pose the question, is any of this money recoverable from the retainer?
Yeah, unlikely. It wasn't, as I recall, it wasn't represented as a retainer on the statement that they sent us, but the statement that they sent us, the bill to be paid, was, you know, over a couple hundred thousand. So we're in the still cut. We don't have like an official period that we have put on the negotiations having to do with that statement, so I would not feel comfortable discussing it in open session.
Thank you.
But the possibility of getting the $80,000 back is, I would say, remote.
Lydia, this is the chair. May I ask a question, and I'll go back to Fred. It's my understanding that Foster Garvey does other work for us, which including renewing our licenses, I believe, which was possibly put in jeopardy by questioning their bill to us. And also that, as you say, I think it was close to $250,000 in other legal bills related to the $80,000 and the whole fight to have WBI on the air or off the air, which I understand we're working with them on to hopefully mitigate that. So I hope that doesn't overstep your feeling that we shouldn't discuss this, but just wanted to make that a little explanation there for people. Okay, so Fred, I'm sorry, Fred.
Thank you for the
information. Let me let Lydia respond to that if she wishes. I realize she was saying it might not be wise.
No, I didn't. But since the previous speaker raised the issue about Nakapon, that Paulina was not around. I was barely around at the time, and we are doing research on the funding of the purchase of Nakapon that was built in 1923, I believe, and that it coincided with the sale of the Pacifica National office in Los Angeles on Venice Boulevard. And so we don't know how much the purchase of Nakapon was by the Pacifica Foundation. So we don't know how much of that sale, the proceeds from that, went into that original purpose. CPA wouldn't know that. It's about the history. It's not about the accounting. I don't doubt that that the CPAs would have that position. It is about longstanding, maybe, misunderstandings about that whole property. Maybe not. You know, only time will tell. But it's not something, Bolina's very new to the foundation. She may not have that history since that was 1988.
Understood, and thank you, Lydia. Mm-hmm. So now we go to Fred to finish, and then we had Lydia again, if she wishes. Go ahead, Fred.
By the way,
I just want to say that we are now at about time. We extended for 5 minutes. We are about there, so if we could be brief.
Yes, thank you very much for the expanded information. It was very helpful. I'm finished.
That was brief. Thank you. And Lydia, did you want to? You were next on the stack, but if you're done.
No, that was. I'm
Paulina?
Done.
That's fine. And Paulina, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I was only 9 years old in 1988.
Well said. Okay.
Right. I keep bragging now.
I think it's time now that this obviously will be fruit for further discussion. And now we can go on to the next item, which I will have to go back to the agenda to find. Okay, so now we need to have a discussion of the referred motion from the PNB on the sideband revenues. Which we have scheduled for 30 minutes, which will almost take us to the end of our allotted time.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
So on that note, I got some some bad news today on our sideband that our healthiest one, financially, has decided to terminate its arrangement with us, 15 years. And this is the Korean community here in Los Angeles, and they said they've had very few requests for that anymore, so they're terminating their arrangement with us. But I looked at it